Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Russell Kane. This is Boys Don't Cry, yet another episode where I get a man and force him to talk about the things you just don't hear boys normally talk about. I'm trying to find out if in 2021 we're even allowed to say the word. You know what men are like, or women are like, without being cancelled for implying that gender exists? I'll probably be pelted with dildos for implying that a phallus is real by the end of this episode. Anyway, it's not going to stop me asking. The stats don't lie anyway, ladies, because we do have a surprisingly high female listenership. Why? Because girls are crying out for this information. Why does my boy do X? Can you tell me why a man does Y? We don't know because men don't talk about shit, which leads to the mental health issues men have, which leads to all of the problems that men have that are double, that are much more inflated. We're not saying female mental health isn't bad. Of course it is. We're in a mental health crisis in the UK. Get that. I'm just saying, look at the stats. If you don't believe me, men are struggling more. Why? Because they don't talk. That is the only difference between men and women. There's no biological difference. The difference is cultural. Men are brought up not to talk about shit. Well, I talk shit for a living, so I thought I'd turn it into a podcast. Get men along. Make them talk about stuff. We've gone the gamut of male body image. We've talked about marriage, we've talked about children, we talked about commitment. Even last week we talked about, over Christmas and New Year, we talked about gifting. Do men and women view gifting differently? And today, I'm going right to the biggie subject, cheating, but not the old faithfulness and trust, which we do at least once or twice a year with different guests. I want to talk about how cheating is evolving. There are now more exciting ways to cheat than ever. Who thought that cheating could experience a brand revitalization and diversify into so many areas? You no longer need just to nosh someone off in an alleyway or grope a boo in a nightclub. Even a text message with a dick pic. Old school, keep up, grandparents. There's new and exciting ways to ruin your relationship. And that's what I want to discuss today with two filthy cheats, George Lewis and Harriet Kemsley. I'm only joking. So my binary identifies a man guest number one. There's so many adjectives to introduce someone these days without being cancelled. I think by 2025, I'll need 400 adjectives just to really nail down the fluidity of how you might possibly identify. But for now, I see the bearded George Lewis in front of me. George, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I agree with this beard especially. I like that you're referring to me as a man. Please keep doing that.
I think we go too far heterosexual and testosterone, and we are on the cusp with you today, George, so hopefully we won't cross over into raw masculine grunting. George, if you hear any sound effects, it's sometimes George Lewis is known just to rut halfway through a recording.
Absolutely.
That's just, he has a box of soil next to him which he kicks backwards just to get rid of excess testosterone. And I'm joined by the absolute rocket star coming up through the comedy clouds, bursting in an interstellar comedic explosion, Harriet Kemsley.
Hello.
I feel like I've worked with you a few times recently. We keep bumping into each other when we used to both have careers and be able to entertain human beings. Now we're mental camera ranters, aren't we? But it's still a job, isn't it?
Technically.
How are you?
I guess. Yeah, I'm good. All is fine. We got a puppy, so I'm that lockdown cliche, but it's a good distraction.
Well, may I ask what breed?
It's a Cavapoo.
What breed does I identify as? Sorry, I'm sorry, dog. I've no longer dog breeds. What dog breed does your dog breed identify as?
He's a Cavapoo, which where we live, there's
literally... King Charles non-binary.
Yeah, there's like five of them, like everywhere you go. It's like surrounded by these like little hypoallergenic dogs.
It's great though, because it's become now original to have a Cavalier King Charles, which was a cliche 15
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, the original. Yeah, exactly. I'm allergic, so it is... it is quite nice not to be allergic to something that you love for once.
We are looking at the cat equivalent, the Devon Rex, which does have dander, but only like the short fur. Anyway, we're not talking about cats and dogs. We might as well fucking help me. I'm down a pub. We're talking about cheating. Now, I did have a little chat before this, and I noticed with our panellists, listeners, and I noticed the bemused face of George Lewis, because I don't think he was entirely sure what I meant. He thought cheating.
I was a little bit confused. I know what cheating is.
He thought
when you focus, is that when you go from one DIY project to another without telling your wife? And I remember the other day I moved into the potting shed without informing her I was moving on to gardening. Oh, how we blazed for the afternoon. Now, what I mean is, there are new things happening, and there is a disagreement, very broadly speaking, between the genders most of the time. Sometimes not, but most of the time, yes. Let's start with an example is the easiest way to explain this. If you receive an unsolicited direct message on a social media website, it's unsolicited, there it is, male or female, doesn't matter, the person happens to be, it's not important, happens to be an attractive person around your age, clearly signalling flirtatiously, but only saying, hey, love your comedy. By the way, you're beautiful. Wink. That's the message you get, unsolicited.
Yeah.
Now, in my world, I have learned that if I even read to the end of that sentence, my testicles get buried in the garden. Even to any way acknowledge that message is a form of cheating in our relationship, mine and Lindsay's, which has taken an education for me, because I... don't class that as... I just think so. I'm not talking about replying, going, you're beautiful too. Meet me by the tuck shop for a hand shandy. What I'm talking about just double-clicking it and doing a like of that message. So not even replying, going, click, click, like, and then never acknowledge that human again. That's already too far.
Yeah.
What I want to find out, using that as our Petri dish example, is that too far for you, Harriet Kemsley?
No. What, have you cheated before? Is there a reason why?
You're joking. How would I still be working?
You would not be alive.
Not in a wheelchair.
It does seem... No, I don't know. Like, I don't really see a problem with replying to somebody that says... Then you can say, thank you. I don't know. What? Isn't that just polite?
George Lewis, let me come to you. George, now George is married to a northern lady. Not a million miles away from the temperament of my wifey.
Yes, absolutely. And,
so you receive, oh my God, I love you. It's just so Kelly and Frenny, I love you. I think you're really hot.
Yeah.
How it actually came about, I went, look at this girl said to me, Liz. Oh my God, I'm still, it's like I was showing off. Yeah. I still got it. Girl still like me. This girl looks about 25. Oh my God, I still got it. And he's like, that's really funny. No, you are attractive, but don't acknowledge her or I'll kill you.
I think it's similar.
So Lindsay wasn't jealous at my receiving of it. It was the idea that I would acknowledge, validate, give that girl even one molecule of hope or acknowledge. She's like, that's you calling me a prick. You know, what does she think of me if you're liking that message?
Absolutely. I think that's the point, isn't it? Because if you're like me, you'd read that and you think, oh, you can't just, this person will have seen that I've read this. It's so impolite not to. And when someone says something nice to you as well, you think, how can I not respond to that and just say thank you because it's made me feel nice? But I think that's the truth. I think my wife would probably look at that and think she knows exactly what she's doing. And if you give that a thumbs up, if you approve of what she's doing...
Thank you, George. Then this living in the same tyranny I'm living in. An Iranian relationship in reverse. So here we are. Boys Don't Cry. And I am buzzing like a housewife's secret toy collection today to reveal the panel I've got today. Now, I've worked with this guy loads of times and I was disgusted with how can he not have been on this? We've collaborated a lot on various podcasts. He's got such a gob on him, and I love to hear what he thinks on everything. That's Johnny Cochran, funny man in himself. Also got an amazing podcast called How's Your Father? Is that right, Johnny?
It is. Yeah, How's Your Father podcast.
Yeah, and he's got some really, he tends to go for quite good-looking, cutting-edge guests that are at the top of their game.
But we also got you on, Russell, so don't worry about that.
Not only that, but funny as Fook, one of the few stand-ups to actually ejaculate mirth into the atmosphere on TV during lockdown. What do you mean? She must have been on Comedy Central Plus 8. No, ITV1. There she is, spitting the bad rhyme. Laura Smith.
Hello.
Doing stand-up on telly during lockdown. A relatively, well, what we would call a newer comic. How long have you been doing it, Laura?
About a year and a half, minus lockdown.
That's amniotic fluid on the outside. You haven't even pierced the bag of your comedy birth yet, which people might not realise. 18 months is fucking nothing. You're like a horse in a field with wobbly legs. And yet you find yourself hosted by Jonathan Ross on ITV1. So look that up. If it's not available on ITV Hub, the episodes are available to stream on Prime for a cost. I recommend it. It shows all the most amazing acts up and coming. Anyway, these are my guests. Laura and Johnny, both parents, which is relevant for today's episode. You know, some of the episodes, we don't end up so binary. But this one, my God, we're going to be so binary. I might just do the episode in ones and zeros. 1110, 11111, in binary.
King 0, code, 1, 1100, 0. That means, I think you're right.
Me and Johnny just exchanged a binary gag there. Yeah. People who aren't nerds won't have understood it, but that was fucking quick and witty, Johnny.
It was a good one.
Thank you. We are talking about, it's seasonal, I'm not going to lie to you, but we're talking about birthdays as well, presents and gift giving. And if ever there has been a gulf between the genders that I've noticed in my life, it's between presents and gift giving. Now, before Laura even leaves the side of her ring and knocks me out and knocks a tooth into the arena, there are plenty of women that hate cards and gift giving and it annoys them, plenty. But 99.99% of men would like to shat in every card they've ever received and hand it back to the person. I'm talking straight men here. Gay men obviously give cards to their dogs for their birthday. I've been told that. I've learned that the hard way. A gay man will write a card. Happy birthday, Chihuahua. And I know that for a fact, my loyal Neil Gaimans who listen. So fair enough. I do realise Neil Gaiman is a straight scientific author. Shouldn't have said that. So why... Johnny Cochran, prove me wrong. Are you in the 0.01% or do you enjoy sending a Christmas card? Are you the one straight man I found that loves getting your pack of cards out at Christmas, filling them out and sending them?
Do you know what? I'd love to be a kind of trend bucker here, someone who is going to come out there and go, do not be so presumptive, Russell Kane. You know, men are big into cards, big into presents, but unfortunately... you have not got that guest on this podcast. I'm exactly on board with you, man. Like, the card thing, I've just never got my head around. I don't get it. It's just a waste of time. When I get a card, I hold it by its corner and I shake it to see if any of the Queen's coinage will fall out. And if it's not, it's going into the recycling pile. It's a waste of time.
Well done.
Send me a text message if you want to send me some goodwill. It's just...
Send nothing.
Yeah, maybe... well, wishes are nice. You know, they provide text comfort. Text them.
A funny WhatsApp with a no chin face where you suck your chin and go, Merry Christmas. It's better than a card.
Exactly,
Laura,
a gift.
Laura, do you do an Andre 3000 with your cards and check for money? Or check it...
I don't know. I think it's a generational thing as well. I think they're on their way out cards. Do you know what I mean?
And there's something. My wife is 30.
Yeah.
And it's like some sort of fundamentalist fucking religion up here in the north.
But you have
I sent
you
a card to her that's acknowledged
it.
The receipt of the card, but I'm not joined to the card because I'm over 16.
I'm in a thank
card.
You card loop with a mother-in-law that I've just had to stop because that could go on forever. And
do you send Christmas cards, Laura Smith?
I do send Christmas cards. I've stopped doing all the work ones. I don't know. Do you know what it is? Because you do like your living room adorned, and I think you feel the pressure of reciprocating. No, you don't. Not into that.
Do you know what? This is what a lot of girls won't realise listening to this. You know the little bit of decorative string with cards hanging off.
Yeah.
It? You know, how does it come down every year? It's because every time a bloke walks past it, he gives it a fucking tug. He goes, "Oh look, the drawing pins are
coming loose. It's coming loose, isn't it?"
It's one of the most pleasurable things you can do as a man is to tug that card display down.
Oh,
it's like a little bit of power. Uh, And don't you also think, George, is the natural thing is if, like me, you had zero, well, I'm just assuming, not much female attention. I mean, I had nothing. Mate. I left school without kissing a girl. I've watched your stand-up, and so I'm assuming it's based in truth that we both, you know, had a pretty virgin experience at school. And that continued way into my 20s, you know, like crying because I was single at 23 and shit. And then all of a sudden, female attention. The ego is fragile. It longs for it. If you're a boy that has never attracted girls your whole life, almost until you're 30, it's hard to resist that attention.
It feels
I'm not saying
nice,
you would act on it, but it does. Let's admit it.
It feels nice.
Let's admit it. Let's admit it. Now, there's no problem with it feeling nice. The problem, Harriet, is if I then hit a like. What about replying to it then? So your partner receives that message. He doesn't hit a like. He goes, thank you very much. You're not too ugly yourself.
Well, I think that's different. If you then comment on their appearance, then that's...
We found the line.
That's different. But my husband gets things like, this is so weird. What's wrong with me? But I've got a crush on Bobby. So it's less of a concern for me. They're like disgusted with themselves. So they have to wrestle with that
first. I think we should explain to your listeners who your partner is so they can, at this point, Google and enjoy the reference.
Yeah.
So your partner's a stand-up too, right?
Yeah.
Your partner's a stand-up.
Yeah, so we both get those messages. But I don't know. Yeah, if it was then to
Is it cheating?
No, to say thank you isn't cheating at all, because I think you're taking a lot from inferring that that woman is trying to sleep with you by sending that message, because she could just be sending you a message saying, I enjoyed it. Like, I appreciate your confidence, but she could just be saying, I enjoyed your stand-up.
Well, that's true as well, isn't it?
We're not talking about that type of thing. I get lots of, I love your stand-up, can you please send a happy birthday to my husband? Loads of those. We're not talking about those.
Okay.
We're talking about the type of message you just said. I get quite a lot of those. I know this is weird, but I find you weirdly hot. I get a lot of weirdly hot. I mean, I have to say I get a lot of just, whether they're real accounts or not. I mean, just 2 days ago, I don't know if a girl had done some sort of substance or something, and it was having a night in with herself. I got a video that doesn't, I mean... I appreciate what you're saying, Harriet, but it wouldn't take Poirot to work out what the girl was thinking during this video. Put it this way, her face isn't in it. Neither is the rest of her legs. Just
okay.
her pelvis is
We're
in it.
We're going to need to see and the video she's, to judge, I think.
She's working up an RSI injury of gigantic proportions,
in my opinion.
I mean, a thimble wouldn't have gone amiss to avoid injury.
I don't think you need to reply to that.
But this is what that a lot of female, I think, don't understand. Or a lot of people don't understand. It's tempting to hit a like in an innocent way. I can't... Do you know what I'm saying, George? Don't leave me hanging here. If you get sent a picture of an attractive lady with a bit... Like, this is what I think of you. Your instinct... I'm a married, happily married man with no intention of acting on it. But I still want... I would still love to send a funny thumbs up picture back.
Yeah, just, you know, good on you for going with your feeling. Because it's quite a lot of commitment, that. She's you know, she's set aside 20 minutes. She's set up a tripod or whatever. And
to be honest, if she's using me as stimulus, it would be over much quicker than that. I mean, we're talking... No, but... I tried to use this as an honest space, and I could sit here and go, I looked at that and I was disgusted and deleted it. I didn't. I thought, that's titillating, and lingered on it. It's pathetic. But this is, if we don't talk about what goes through men's heads, we're never ever going to move on.
Yes.
So we're trying to find the line with, but micro cheating is defined as the grey area which falls between flirting and unfaithful behaviour. So when it comes to these apps, when it comes to people you don't necessarily know, I mean, people, or even people you sort of half know. I mean, if we'd been to some sort of event, in which we get invited to these things all the time in our business, we used to, and you got a sort of message afterwards, oh, nice chatting to you, Nate, you're so funny. And it's in that grey area. They're in the business. It's important that I show a bit of leg and I'm friendly. My sort of age, is it flirting? You know, it is confusing. Where is where does flirting stop and micro cheating begin, Harriet? In
Sex.
Your mind?
No.
A hand job. Wonderful. Hand job by the bins. Hand job by the bins, particularly if it's a commissioner. That's advancement.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm joined by Elliot Steele, who used to be a comedian before a virus destroyed everything he stood for, and he now shouts into webcams like me for a living, and Makita Oliver, who's continued to work throughout. In fact, we've been working together sometimes on Steph's Packed Lunch. She's a renowned TV presenter, but also you've got a podcast yourself, haven't you, Makita?
Yes, it's called Quiz. It's an actual daily quiz show, which is fantastic because I've been rehearsing being a quiz master at family gatherings for 15 years. So it's great to really put it into action properly. And it's great because it's actually about people that want to just quiz. It's not not too chatty. We really do just quiz.
And I love stuff like that, which is why I'm coming on in January, I believe.
Are you?
I believe so. I've been chasing it down because I just love showing off the chase and stuff like that. So yeah. I'll be on.
Think about your specialist subject.
Books. Elliot, anything you want to plug, or is your life like mine, empty and you're screaming into a webcam void?
Just, I'm on Instagram at ElliotSteele.com and Twitter. It's the other way around.
Has your hair got its own Instagram page like mine? I set up an Insta page for my hair.
I've just been putting up sketches and stuff. This has been a week. I'll plug a shift at Tesco's or something.
Listen, we'll be back. We'll be back. Fuck bat eaters. We'll be back. Yeah. Right, so today we are talking about grudges and arguments. I want to know from Makita Oliver and Elliot Steele whether they think, off the bat, whether women and men have grudges differently. We're going to do grudges first and then arguments second. Before we even do that, what is a grudge? How would you define holding a grudge, Makita Oliver? What does it mean?
I think a grudge is when it stays with you and possibly not them. It makes me even angrier when I'm holding a grudge against someone. I'm doing a lot. I don't know. Shall I go deep now?
Go deep as you like.
Okay.
Any point.
I'm doing a lot of meditation at the moment to let go of things like grudges. And I do find it, I've realised, very, very difficult to let go of grudges. And they can sit in you and really poison you up a bit. It's not the way to go to live with them, because it really is only you that's living with it.
Do you think, Elliot, that women hold on to grudges more than men? Do you agree? First of all, do you agree with that definition of a grudge?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because I've done that meditation technique where you have to think of someone you don't like and forgive them.
I can't do it.
And I don't, do you know what the weird thing is? I can forgive someone like for a bad bit, like something bad happened to like a friend of mine from another person. I was like angry at the like they were like a victim of a violent attack, and I was like, all right, let me try to do it and see if I can forgive. For them, I could do it. But when it's like, there's like one where there was another comedian who was talking smack about me on another podcast, I couldn't forgive them. it's so.
By talking smack, they weren't implying you were a heroin user. You mean
no.
They were dissing the mandem.
No, you mean it's street slang, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, they were just saying that I dealt shit heroin, like. And
I wasn't having any of it.
My mate, but saying I sell shit product, that's another.
I know. I got gack talked on another one.
Did you?
No. And, so, I mean, this is women hold grudges longer, according to a 2016 Harvard study. Women hold grudges and stay angry longer than men. The researchers believe this is evolutionary, explaining that men worked together to hunt or defend their tribe, while women took care of and defended their family. So it was in women's interest to have their eye on the ball socially, social bonds, who's chatting shit, who might let us down. Whereas men with our tiny pea brains will be like, I'll just go kill this elk and we can fuck later, yeah? That's the thrust of the argument, if you pardon the pun. Do you agree with that, Makita? Do women handle grudges differently? Do they hold on to them longer?
I think, I was actually saying this to my cousin yesterday, I think that men are always just late with feeling the things that we felt first. So, for instance, if you feel disappointed by a man's behaviour, you feel it straight away. You usually feel it just before it's coming. You can, like, feel the onset of bad behaviour coming from them. And then you're in it.
You can feel the onset of bad behaviour coming from a man.
Yeah.
Like before, so the way a dog sniffs out an epileptic fit, sniff out a man's temper.
You can smell that it's coming. Absolutely.
Master, you're about to lose your key car keys and lose your temper.
And then, no, but I mean, like, if they're about to fuck up, it's like you know they're about to do it before they even do, and then they fuck up. So I think that you're angry early, then you're angry during it, and then you're angry afterwards. And then I think months later, a man will be like, shit, that was a really bad situation. And it just feels like you're there a lot later than us. And I think that's why we hold anger for longer, because half of that's waiting for you to get to where we've been for months.
But that's also because men, like, I have this with my girlfriend, is there'll be a fear. I know it's kind of cliche, but she'll want me to understand why she was upset. And I'm like, but I fixed the thing. I fixed the thing you were mad about. So why are you angry? So in my brain, I'm there going like, oh, she's so emotional. And I realize that I'm just not emotionally intelligent enough to gather that she was just like, no, I wanted you to understand why you forgetting that thing upset me in a way you spoke to me was rude and why that's upset me. And I'm just like, but I fixed all the things for it, so there's no reason to be upset anymore.
But do you agree with that principle, Elliot, that men are less likely to hold on to that grudge type of anger?
I would say men are more likely to look, like I was saying, to solve. I don't think that's necessarily true in like, or a good thing, because I think solve a grudge in like more violent means. Mm-hmm. Like guys will get in an argument with another dude and it will become very confrontational very quickly. It might resolve quicker, but you look at most of the violent crime in the world, it is a guy killing another guy over something trivial.
See, I feel like women are more like, if they're holding a grudge against each other, God, women, when they hold a grudge against each other, it's very different to when they hold a grudge against another man.
It's like that strongman challenge where they're holding up. Exactly. I'm not letting go, bitch.
Because it's so emotionally wrought in a way that you're saying maybe with men it isn't, but we put all of our emotions into our grudges. So if it's a female grudge against another man, it's sort of like, I understand when you said she wants me to understand why she felt like this. I wonder why after thousands of years we still ask you that, because no one sees that from our side of things. I don't think men ever see that side. So I don't know why we're still asking you to see that side.
Definition between holding a grudge and being angry at someone. There is a difference. According to Dr. Johnson, not the Dr. Johnson, anger is an appropriate reaction to a situation. Holding a grudge differs from anger based on the duration of your emotion. Exactly as you said, Makita. While anger usually dissipates, holding a grudge by definition involves holding on to something. Are you good at holding grudges, Makita?
Spectacular at holding grudges. And it's not good. It doesn't, if you do a lot of the work that I'm trying to do, like I've been doing a lot of Louise L. Hay, and a lot of that's about, you know, choice.
What's that? Sorry, what's Louise L. Hay?
She's like, I think she's like from, God, since maybe the 50s, life coaching and meditation and affirmation. She's all about affirmations. And so a lot of it's about, you know, how strong a thought is, just one thought, how much it can change the day. I have a grudge against a female, and in my head it's this huge angry thing, but really it's just one thought. It's just the thought that I have let turn into these other emotions. And I think that's why grudges are so dangerous, because it's based on how big you want it to be and how long you intend on holding on to it.
What about you, Elliot? Are you just like, can't be arsed? I'll try to hold a grudge. It's so heavy, I put it down.
No, I'm pretty bad with it, actually. I had an incident like a few months ago. Obviously, I'm a lad with like dyed hair in South London. Like, you get a bit of shit every now and then. I was at a train station and a lad like made a... I was taking a selfie to send to my girlfriend of like my new haircut and dyed hair. And this lad walked past and did that thing of like, oh, you send that to your boyfriend? And I found it really funny. So I went, oh, yeah, you'd love him. And like, it ended up in one of those situations where we were nearly in a fight. And I went and told my girlfriend...
Wait, what did you say back to him? You'd love him.
I said, oh, yeah, you'd love him, actually. Like, just because I thought what he said was really
funny.
That's
a fair enough response. That's a boom, boom. Get on with you. That's quite... And he couldn't take it that you dared to have a witty response to his homophobic slur.
Exactly. And then it ended up in one of those situations where, like, he was going, oh, come over here. And I was like, well, that's not, like, the council-designated fight area, is it? That's, like there's a, and I went about my day, and I told my girlfriend, and my girlfriend, again, she was understanding of it. And then when I told my mates, so it was during lockdown one, over Zoom after a few beers, and they were, like, going, why didn't you knock him out? And I was going, well, no, I didn't need that. And they were like, oh, you're a pussy, innit? And then suddenly... I was like fantasizing for months, like I know how to fight.
That's a sort of grudge, isn't it? That's a lot of fantasy, a male fantasy grudge. That's like, different, isn't it?
You know, like in those, do you get it in those like fantasies where like suddenly you know karate?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, all the time.
I don't know, what do you lose from it? Yeah, but I don't know, there is a weird thing about cards. Like, I remember, like, you know, like being in card shops when I was single, like looking at the husband or girlfriend cards and like a bit forlorn. Sweet. And then I got a husband and he never does it. He always gives me like a card with a tiger on it or two dogs or something. I don't know, it's just
two
tugging
staffs.
Me off.
Two staffs. Yeah. So, one with happy in its mouth, one with birthday.
And I go, all right, cheers.
So before you got married, you looked at the cards and were like, look at that amazing card. One day, I'll have a husband who'll buy me that card.
I'm
and you
so
got a husband, and he were like, no, I don't get cards still. I just get shit cards, and now I've got a husband as well, for good measure. Oh,
right. Shit cards and a husband, so that's me.
Okay, so like, we've had the fun bit. Now let's, what I call like the meat bit. It'd be easy to stop at the observation and have
Russell,
a laugh.
Russell, can I just jump in on one thing, though? Because it's
poignant
that we're talking about cards, right?
We're staying on cards, don't worry.
Oh, there we go, right. Basically, a couple of days ago, my wife said to me, I want to send out some cards to family members, and we want to get our one-year-old to like do a painted footprint on the card and make it into a reindeer or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be easy. And I just, you know, basically, she was like, I need you to hold him down whilst we
did festive. It.
Yeah, so I quickly threw him into a full Nelson because he is Wrigley. And we've started doing these footprints on the cards. And, I mean... To try to give you an idea of what they ended up looking like, you know when they give people psychological evaluations and they give people like dripping...
Rorschach test.
That's it. Dripping paint pictures saying, what do you see? And everyone sees death and murder. That's all it is. And then I was like, you've done it wrong. You should use his hands. So I used his hands and now I have a couple of brown runny blobs on a bit of card that look absolutely nothing like a reindeer unless it was a reindeer due to be put down. And I'm going to give that to my mum because I know no matter what I give her, she's going to smile and go, it's amazing, thank you so much. So that's what's going on for me.
That is, and just to get to the meat of it, I mean, what is going on here, Laura? So look, gifts, I get it, right? Men might be a little poor at it, and we'll unpack that, pardon the pun, in a minute. But of course, I make the effort, I make the romance. I love surprise presents. I love taking Lindsay by surprise with the Christmas present she's got coming later. I love all of that. I get it. I just cannot get my head around the bit of paper with well wishes. What is going on in women's brains that isn't going on in men's with the valueless gift, i.e. the piece of paper? And don't say it's sentiment and romance, because I do loads of romantic gestures that cost fuck all. So what is it about this papery token that still holds value for the so much more for the female sex? I sound like Anthony Trollope now. But you know what I mean? You're saying it's a generational thing, but I've got plenty of cousins in their 20s banging out cards. No problem.
I don't know. Now you're making me question my whole life. I mean, what Johnny was talking about.
Welcome to the show.
The Pinterest era, the Instagram era, isn't it now? Like, your wife's keeping up with the Joneses. That sort of, look, we've got a baby. Let's celebrate all things baby. And other people have seen this and it's a life hack and craft it. I've faked kids' handwriting on a card before. I've done the left hand.
Johnny doesn't have to fake it; it's his real handwriting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I like written grandma in a childish hand. I don't know. What?
That's a twisted night in.
I do the same thing on credit card applications.
Yeah. If it all comes on top, it's the boy's fault. I don't know. I just think it's nice. It makes you think. We like to be thought of. That's the thing. You know, when
That's
you go, it's
is.
Not that. It's the thought. It's the. Rosie Perez thing in White Men Can't Jump, in it. I want you to understand that I'm thirsty. Don't bring me a glass of water. We want you to feel it. We want a well-chosen card, and it
Wait
is
a minute.
The thought that counts.
Hold on a second. I want you to understand you're thirsty, but you don't want me to bring you a glass of water. If no, I could put one line that describes my experience of dating women, it would be that.
But do you think you were just angrier with yourself for wishing that you'd done something else? It doesn't even seem like the grudge was towards him.
No, I think you did the best response, but you've sort of thought, but imagine if I did something bigger, how good would that have felt?
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably a thing of like confronting, because I like to do meditation and stuff, and it's really confronting the idea of self. Like I find with a lot of it, and like you have this idea of yourself and then what you actually are. And like in that situation, like if anyone was to go to me, oh, what would you do in that situation? I'd probably be like, oh, I'd throw a spinning back kick and we'd have a fight on top of the train. But confronted to it, I'm like, no, I'm just trying to get into town, mate, actually. Like, I'm just trying to go about my day. I'm looking forward to getting some chicken wings later. I don't
Isn't
need
it?
This.
Much better response.
But so let's flip it on its head now. Do you not think, though, that sometimes a grudge is a good thing, and that where men lose out, a lot of the time I do, is if I was to stay angry at someone who quite rightly has treated me like shit or let me down, or I've collaborated with them and then they've not backed me and they've run off with the project, you know, that type of thing where I'm like, oh, fuck it, it's life, isn't it? I mean, whereas if I was a bit more like, that's out of order, and held on to, I could have done something with that long-term anger and directed it and maybe got a bit of justice. And I think blokes lose out sometimes because like, I just can't be arsed to hold the grudge. So it's not always a positive thing to let it go, because we're just assuming a grudge could be negative, but a grudge could be lead to political justice. It could lead to change in a society, coldly held grudge. There's lots of versions where you coldly sit on this till the right time to make change. Do you not think?
It depends on your reasoning, though, doesn't it? Like, if you go out for the reasoning of, like, you know, you're talking about political justice, like, say you have someone who got put in prison, imprisoned wrongly, and they have a grudge against the system, and they're like, right, I'm going to learn law while I'm in prison, then I'm going to get out, I'm going to try to prove my own thing. So this doesn't happen to someone else. Well, I'd argue your reasoning is quite, your virtue is very good there. Whereas if your reasoning is, fuck that guy, I'm going to make him feel worse than what he feels because nobody makes me feel like that, then that's probably where it comes, a thing where it's going to land more people in trouble. It's coming from an area of hatred rather than an area of, is awful.
Agree, totally. But don't you think, Makita, even that second guy there, in certain circumstances, he might go on to be a better artist, comedian, a better rapper, a singer, writer. He might bottle that anger and use
it. Yeah, I mean, look at
Eminem. He might have a better relationship. He might not be a pussy old with his girlfriend. Do you know what I mean? There's certain situations where, well, actually, hold on a second, you should be that guy.
The thing is, that does make me think of Eminem, because he was, when he came out, he was always so angry and actually wrote some of those tunes because of that anger and because of those grudges towards his mom and Kim. And actually, it was kind of exciting to watch someone be so laid bare with their proper grudges in life. And like, I remember thinking, by the time the third album was like multi-million selling and he was the biggest star in the world, he was still banging on about how much Kim pissed him off. I was like, okay, enough now. So I think there's only, because then after a while it's like, what are you now doing with it? You've used it in this way, but now what are you doing with it? And I think that's when you have to get very clear of how much a grudge, living with a grudge, starts to only live with you and affect your life negatively.
And it can in fact affect your health as well. There's been countless studies which have shown that holding grudges and keeping in negative feelings is bad for your mental health, increasing anxiety and frustration. Research found that when people were told to nurse a grudge when thinking about wrongdoers, they had stronger negative emotions and greater stress responses, so higher heart rate, cortisol and blood pressure. So it literally fucks you up.
Yeah, totally. But you know what, Elliot, you were saying that you were trying to do an exercise. I can't remember what you said, but there's an exercise that I was asked to do where I had to see the person that I was holding a grudge towards and see loads of brilliant things happening to them.
Oh.
And like I know, I was like, I don't want to see that shit. I cannot be happy for them.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.